All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 69 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are continuing with the story of the United States following the founding. In other words, following that period in which the founding fathers created the country and then led the country as presidents. The further we go into this story, the further we have to deal with a really serious problem. And that problem, I'm going to go ahead and show it to you on screen now and get you to tell me what it's called. So the problem is right inside of this box. And so I would like somebody to read it. And then I would like somebody to tell me what is the name for this kind of thinking problem. Okay, so first, Abby, I'm going to recruit you to read this first set of thoughts, two different thoughts that the Founding Fathers had. So go ahead, please, only in blue.
Rights require independence. Independence requires union. Rights require union.
Okay, does everybody see the logic of that? You gotta have one thing to have the other. Okay, why do you have to have union for rights? Okay, who can tell me? Why do you have to have union for rights? What explains that those two things go together? Because you have to have union to have what? Wyatt?
You have to have a union or it just all falls apart. Everybody fights.
Yeah, okay, just use a single word. You have to have union in order to have?
Rights.
No, that's what I'm asking, Wyatt, is how do we, what bridges those two ideas? Right there.
Independence.
Right. In order, why do you have to have union? Because you have to be independent. Separate states is not good enough. And then, well, the whole reason for wanting to be independent is to have rights. So this set of thoughts is pretty straightforward and it works pretty well. But now, Abby, continue with the more difficult thought.
Union requires slavery. Rights require slavery.
Okay, wait a minute. Is this true, Abby? Union requires slavery?
No, it doesn't.
Uh-oh! Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Why? I'm glad you got that wrong, because it did. The founders were not wrong about that. If you wanted to have Georgia, if you wanted to have Virginia, if you wanted to have the Carolinas, Dana, explain.
Well, they wanted slavery, so they wouldn't unite if they didn't have slavery.
There you go. There were a bunch of southern states. If we start with the United States, here it is on our map, to the right. Okay? We're going to have a set of maps that's going to show us the growth of the United States. And here was the situation in 1789. We have the states of the South marked in a kind of reddish color, pinkish color here. And they had a lot of slavery. The ones in blue did not. So we're going to just start to, it's not that they didn't necessarily have any slavery, but mostly they did not. So there was quite a strong dividing line between the northern states and the southern states over slavery. And what were these two things over here? These two giant things that weren't states. What were those? What's the name for something that's a part of the United States, but it's not a state? There's a word for that. Does anybody know what it is? Patrick?
Country?
No, country is the word for it. The United States is a country. The Louisiana something. The Northwest something. Nemo, what is it? A territory, right. Okay, good. So there was, these were territories. This was the Northwest Territory where Thomas Jefferson made sure there would not be slavery. And this was the Southwest Territory where slavery would be allowed. Okay, so this, when the United States was created, it was this colored area, approximately. What I did was I used the map of the states to kind of make this map. So it's not always exactly the super, super exactly the correct borders, okay? But I think it's a good way of doing it. So that's the kind of approach I'm going to take, is using the state borders. So we got the blue, where there is no slavery, or less and less, and eventually not allowed, period. And then the pink area, where it is allowed. So this was the compromise at the beginning of the formation of the United States. So, just for fun, I want you guys to count how many states had slavery and how many didn't. And look at the borders, and because you guys should know your American geography from doing your American geography. Here, I'm going to start asking a few interesting questions. For instance, in the North, what state is missing? Because it doesn't exist yet. Who knows their geography? Which one's missing? Walker?
Vermont.
It's not here yet. It's a part of New York. Right. And actually, that's a trick question. Because there's another state missing, except you can't see it. Does anybody know what the other state is that's missing from the North? Wyatt?
Maine!
What was it a part of?
Massachusetts.
Perfect! All right, we got some geography whizzes here. Vermont was a part of New York. Maine was a part of Massachusetts. Patrick, what's your question?
Well, how come Maine's not on the map when this part...
Well, it is on the map, but it looks like it's separate, right? Because there's a line there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an illusion. It's a part of Massachusetts, but you can't completely tell just from this map. So that was the trick of it. Okay, and so that means we had how many states pretty much without slavery? This is one. This is two, three, four, Rhode Island, five, six, seven. Okay, seven without. And so even without counting, how many had it? Or were pretty much had a lot of it. Without counting, you should be able to tell me, because how many states were there at the beginning? Patrick?
Eight.
Nope, wrong count, because how many states were there at the beginning? Walker?
13.
Okay, 13 minus 7 is?
Six,
thank you. So pretty balanced. One, two, three, four, five, six had it. Seven did not. You know, pretty good balance there. And two territories. And, well, they didn't count quite yet. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Why am I counting states? Who cares about the count of the states? Did the count of the states actually matter for anything? There was something that mattered. It had to do, let me remind you, about the big states and the little states joining together. Is that a good clue for you guys? The big states and the little states making kind of a fair arrangement as part of a country? Nemo, what's the big deal about the number of states on both sides?
The representatives.
Okay, and in the Senate, how did their representatives get chosen? How many were there?
One per state, I saw.
Pretty good guess. It's two per state, but the most important thing you said that was per state. They were equal per state. So that meant then the seven in the North, 14 against slavery, and six in the South. That makes 12. All right, now let me ask you guys a question. 14 against 12. Hey, couldn't they vote to get rid of slavery? Because how does that work when you vote? What's that called for, you know, when you get a vote and you have 50% plus one? Abby, what's going on there?
Well, that means that one person voted 1% more.
Abby's thinking that somebody... 1%. Well, okay, but we got 14 out of 26 are against slavery. Isn't that a majority?
That would be the majority, yeah, the majority rules.
In a democracy, true enough. But the United States was not a democracy. Aha! In how many ways can we reinforce this important lesson? The United States was a republic, which means that there were powerful rules built into the Constitution that could not easily be changed. They were supposed to be to defend rights. In this particular case, they were malfunctioning. But the rules were that you can't just vote to change the laws of the whole country, change the Constitution with a majority. You need something else. Well, need something else to change the Constitution and get rid of slavery. Does anybody know what the word is for more than a majority? A majority is more than 50%. What's the word for more than a majority? What's the word for more than a man? He can leap tall buildings and fly in the sky. Abby?
A superman?
So what's the word for more than a majority?
A supermajority.
Yes, exactly. In order to change the Constitution, you have to have a supermajority. What does that mean, though, exactly? What does that mean, exactly, a supermajority? Is it 80%? Is it 70%? Is it 53%? Actually, it's none of those. You just have to decide what the supermajority is going to be. And in the American Constitution, the rules are like this. Inside of the Senate, you have to have 2/3 to change the Constitution. But it's actually even more difficult than that. After the 2/3 in the government will agree, you have to send the change to the states. And 3/4 of those states have to agree. So that is a super majority. Okay, so could slavery be changed at this point with 7 states against 6 states? By following the rules of the Constitution. You don't see a lot of people shooting their hands up and saying, oh, no, of course not, because they couldn't get a 7 versus 6 would be a majority, but what would it not be? What's the thing that it would not be, Walker?
A supermajority.
Supermajority. It would not be 2/3. Okay, so no, they could not. So what we're going to see here in the story of the United States is as it grew, this became a really important challenge. Because the founders were hoping that if they could draw a line like this and make new states that didn't have slavery. Hopefully, maybe you make more of those and more of those. Eventually, slavery would be kind of stuck here. And it wouldn't be able to go anywhere. And eventually, it would die off. Okay? Now, watch what happens in 1803. I'm going to get rid of this now, because we're done with that. But watch what happens in 1803. Oh, I want to expand that. I wanted it to be the full size. Okay, yeah, now I can't go back and forth. Oh, yeah, can I do that now? Oh, yeah, just a sec. I'm going to have to expand each one as I get to it. All right, so now we can go back and forth here. What happened in 1803? What's this huge, big, gigantic gray thing? that Thomas Jefferson added by buying it from Napoleon. Last hint.
Patrick?
The Louisiana Purchase.
Okay, so all of a sudden, America is this big now. Okay, wait a minute, what's this down here? Why is this white? Interesting puzzle. The story of the growth of the United States. Why is it white, Walker?
Because it's Spanish.
Aha, excellent. It hasn't been purchased as a part of the United States yet, so it's still out there as a part of the Spanish Empire. Well, that's not good. Yes, Patrick.
And we also see that Vermont's back.
Okay, good observation. The next thing for you to know about the maps that I'm going to be showing you is new states are going to be shown in darker colors so that you can appreciate how they are being added. So, Patrick has correctly identified that by the time of 1803, Vermont had become a new state. How interesting. Okay. What other two states had joined the Union? And why are there not 20 hands up? Who's been doing their geography work? Does everybody get my question? What are these two states right here is my question. The dark red. Why do we do geography work? So that we can understand history, right? Because where does history happen? In geography. So we can't understand it without history. So what states came into the Union here? Jeremy?
One is Tennessee, but I don't know the other one.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. That's a good one. So the bottom one is Tennessee. What's this top one here? Dana?
Kentucky.
Okay, I wanted that to be a more certain answer, but you got it right. So, okay, good. So now, by 1803, after the original 13 states, there were three new ones. Hey, let's do some more math again. Now, how many states had slavery and how many didn't? Who can do all this mental math and tracking? Let me remind you, there were seven before without slavery, and six with. So if we're adding one and we're adding two, that's not too hard, is it? Abby, what's the math?
They're 8 and 8.
8 and 8 equal. Hey, are we moving towards a supermajority yet? Patrick says yes because he's not clear yet on what a supermajority is. No, we're working in the wrong direction. Because we're not getting more free states than we are slave states. Okay, in fact, we're at 50% deadlocked. Not going to get any good changes that way. Oh, no. All right, let's look at 1819. I'll zoom in for you guys. All right, so go. Okay, here we go. Check out the differences. See if you can be a geographical detective. Check out the differences between 1803 and 1819 and tell me what they are. Ready? Set. Detect the differences. I'll go back once more. 1803 and 1819. Ooh, those are pretty cool differences. Patrick, what's one of them?
One of them, of course, is that Florida was brought back into the United States.
Not brought back in, brought in for the first time.
Yes.
So in 1819, Florida was purchased from Spain, and so now it became a, how come it's gray and not colored?
New state.
No, what is it if it's gray? Come on, everybody's got to be paying attention. What's gray instead of blue and red, Jennifer?
What'd you say?
Why do we have gray instead of red and blue? What's the gray part?
Louisiana Purchase.
Yes, originally, but Florida wasn't part of that. So gray is any something. What's the word for a part of the country that's not a state? I lost you there, did I? Okay, because we went over this already, so you missed it. So catch it now. It's a territory. A territory. What about this white stuff? How come it's not gray? Patrick lives here. How come it's not gray? Abby, why isn't it gray?
It's not a territory or a purchase. They don't know about it yet.
Yeah, they do know about it, but...
they don't have it. Doesn't.
Yeah, it's not a part of the United States. Yeah, it belongs to somebody else. Okay, so this is the point of the growth of the United States here. All right, so Patrick has identified that Florida has been added as a territory by 1819. Okay, somebody tell me another interesting change. Jeremy.
There are two more southern states, Mississippi and Alabama.
Okay, actually more than two, because Jeremy, I show three dark red states. So, Mississippi and Alabama, correct. What's the third one, Jeremy?
Louisiana.
Thank you. Well done. Okay, good geography work there. So, not only was this Southwest Territory turned into two new states over here, but this area, look back now on this map, went from gray to red. Ah, so it was added as a state, and sadly, it had slavery. And part of the reason was that the French and Spanish settlers there had slavery, and they didn't believe in getting rid of it. So, once there were enough people living there, enough of them wanted slavery, so when they joined the Union, they kept it. Okay, so what are the numbers now? Ooh, this is hard to keep track of this mental math. What are the numbers now? Now, Abby was telling us that we had 8 and 8. Where are we at now? Abby, since you got it before, help us out here. What are the numbers now?
Now we have 10 states against slavery and 11 states with slavery.
10 and 11. Okay. Now, actually, I've made a mistake. So, I'm going to have to correct it on my next version of this map. Ohio was also a state. I'm sorry, I made this map too recently and I didn't catch this mistake. So, actually, since Ohio was also a state at this point, Abby, what was the real math?
11 to 11.
11 to 11, thank you. Okay, so, good. Three new states up here, three new states down here, 11 against 11. You can't even have a majority at this point. So, here's the problem. How do you get rid of slavery? Now, the Founding Fathers, and you know, up to this point, they still are trying. They're still trying to think of ways to stop it. But they're trying to think of ways to stop it without doing what? Oh, boy. Let me see if I can bring this back up on screen. They're trying to think of ways to stop slavery without doing what? Based on this puzzle. Difficult puzzle. Jeremy, what's the answer?
Forgot to draw my...
Okay. Abby, what's the answer?
Getting a war.
Yes, okay. Ruining what? Which thing here do they not want to lose?
Rights. Individual rights.
No. Think about it here. What's the thing that they think... They don't think of slavery as good for rights. What do they think as important for rights?
Independence and union.
Union. And so, what does union require again?
Slavery.
So what do they not want to break?
Union.
Yeah, they want this, but they want to try to get rid of this. See, that's the tough part. That's the puzzle that the Founding Fathers had. They knew this doesn't make sense. They knew that this is... Did we get to the keyword today? What is this again? Because, you know, all these keywords, they keep kind of piling up, and I notice that people are not always getting them, so it's good to review them. What is this statement? Rights require slavery. What kind of goofy talk is that? There's a special word for that. Everybody here is supposed to know it. What kind of logical mistake is this, Jack?
Contradiction.
A contradiction. Okay, good. So people know, but they're not always raising their hands, I see. Okay, good. So, this is a contradiction. The Founding Fathers knew that. They didn't want this. So, the problem was, if you don't want this, how do you keep this? That was the big problem. And so, making this compromise of adding states that are blue and adding states that are red, well, that was okay for doing this. But what was it not okay for? The more of this you have, what's the problem, Abby?
The less rights the
country has. Yeah, the less you really are a country of rights. This is the problem. Was this is supposed to be a country of rights. So if you keep making this bargain, you're not succeeding. You're failing to do the thing that you set out to do. So here we get now to 1820. Put this away again. And I'm going to go to this and zoom in, and then we'll compare the maps. All right, so this is the beginning of the map of 1820. And it has to do with a certain territory. Tell me what it is, please. What territory is appearing? And I'm clicking. That's my mouth clicking. Okay, Walker, what territory is appearing there?
Missouri.
Okay, it had to do with a territory called Missouri. Now, the challenge with Missouri was where it is. Can anybody kind of figure out why that's a challenge? What's the geographical challenge of Missouri, Patrick?
Some of it's on slavery, but though most of it's on versus slavery.
Okay, Patrick is exactly right. Part of it would seem to be in the area where you would expect to have slavery, and part of it isn't. In other words, it's on the boundary. And mostly you would think it would be in a part of the country without slavery. Not necessarily. So you can imagine that as these states were being added, more and more people were getting upset about this bargain. Hey, we're supposed to be a country of rights. This bargain isn't working. These compromises are a bad idea. We just keep adding more slave states. Let's not do that. So when Missouri was getting ready to become a state, well, now people were really upset. They said, we can't add. Now, here was the worst part of it, was there was slavery in Missouri. Enough people had gone to Missouri who wanted slavery that when they applied to the federal government and said, we want to become a state, and they asked them, well, what are you going to have slavery or not? And they said, we're going to have slavery. Uh-oh. So, now we get to this map, which I will expand. All right, So, look at what they did. Pay close attention. In 1820, the American government created something called the Missouri Compromise. And I want you to see it. Watch carefully. Here it comes. This is part one of the Missouri Compromise. Boom. Okay, watch again. Get ready. Part one of the Missouri Compromise. Boom. What did they do? What did they do, Jeremy?
The southern states got one state and the northern states got one state.
Remember what Wyatt was telling us earlier about Maine not being a state? Maine became a state as part of something called the Missouri Compromise. The compromise was, okay, Missouri, you can join as a slave state. However, we want to keep the balance. So we're going to add Maine as a state. So the balance was kept. But now this Honestly, this part I don't like about the Missouri Compromise. But, you know, nobody who likes freedom would have been happy with this part of the compromise. However, the Missouri Compromise had two parts. Two crucial parts. And I gotta show it to you small and then expand it. And then I'll come back to it. Okay, next time I'll have these maps exactly zoomed in just right. So, this is the Missouri Compromise Part 1. Now watch the Missouri Compromise Part 2. What did they do? Patrick?
Two things. First, a little bit more of the Louisiana Purchase became slavery. And second, the rest of the Purchase became a new state that's versus slavery.
Okay, not a new state, but a territory, yes,
yeah.
Without slavery. That's a good point. Sometimes these colors can be confusing. So I got to maybe think about using slightly different colors. But yes, what they said was, we're going to draw a line. You see this line right here? We're going to draw a line. And we're going to say, from now on, except Missouri, because we can't stop that one, but from now on, no slavery north of that line. So, what do you guys think? Is that a good sign? What do you make of this Missouri Compromise and the future of freedom? What do you guys think? Walker?
There's going to be war and less freedom.
That's a strange prediction. Not based on this map. Not based on this map. Just based on the map, what would you say, Walker?
I'd say that some states are across the line, but they still have slavery.
Oh, you're being pretty sophisticated in your predictions there. You're trying to come up with ways of destroying the lines. I'm just saying, if you look at these lines, what are you going to predict, Abby?
Well, I think what I would predict if I only saw those lines is I would think that the northern states are going to get more and more states, and there are going to be more states versus slavery.
Right, exactly. So this seems to be heading in the direction of what we wanted, right? The supermajority to get rid of slavery. Because there's only this much room for slave states. And look at all this room for free states. We can have way more up here. So yeah, this seemed to be another good compromise in the sense that it looks like eventually, we're going to get rid of slavery. This was a compromise that you could say was true to the idea of what the founding fathers wanted, to limit slavery, to find a way to peacefully get rid of it. Unfortunately, as Walker is predicting, it won't be peaceful. But you can see how they were trying. Patrick, what are your questions or thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is that now they have 15 freedom states versus 13 slavery states.
No. Keep in mind, these are still territories, and so they are not states.
Yeah.
So yeah, Florida's going to become a state. There are going to be other states. So the balance will continue to shift. But just from the Missouri Compromise, we would expect it to shift in favor of freedom. Mm-hmm. That was the wonderful possibility now, the sense that eventually it would shift. But sadly, the people of the South felt threatened by this. And as we're going to see, as the balance shifted more and more and more in favor of freedom, the people of the South decided, we don't want to be in this country anymore. And yes, we are going to get the Civil War. The Union will be broken temporarily and then put back together again without slavery. All right, well, we will head in that direction shortly. Of course, we do have a break coming up again. So we have History Throughout tomorrow. And then after that, our spring break. And then we return to this story. All right. Hope you guys like the maps. All right. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.